Before I get to the scripture, I just want to focus a bit on water. You know, water is an amazing substance. Water can exist in three forms. It can exist as a gas in the form of steam. It can exist, obviously, as a liquid, which most of us know the liquid form of water. And then it can exist as a solid as well, in the form of ice. Water, wouldn't you agree with me, is vital for all forms of life. Amen. And I don't know if you've come from a dry area like the Karoo and you see where it's been, there's nothing. It looks like there's absolute death. And then it rains just once, just a few drops of rain, and suddenly there's green grass growing, or the bushes just seem to start to grow green. It's just incredible how inherently in what God has created, there is life, but it needs water. Otherwise, it looks dead, right? Water covers 71% of the earth's surface, while the human body itself also contains between 55 and 78% water, depending on your body mass and all of those things. Water has many uses. Some of them include agriculture. Guess without water, the farmers suffer. Water is used for washing and cleaning. I'm sure you're thankful when you have water to wash and clean, you know, because things get dirty, right? We get dirty. We sweat. We stink. We need water, right? Just turn to someone next to you and say, did you shower this morning? Did you bath this morning? Water is important for life. Water is important for putting out fires. I'm sure in Australia they're thankful that they at least have some water to put out a fire, or all the fires that are happening there. Water is essential sometimes for chemical reactions. Certain chemical reactions cannot take place without the presence of H2O. That's water, by the way. Water is important for heat exchange. In fact, your car's radiator works very well with water. It absorbs heat and it cools things down very well. It's a brilliant substance when it comes to heat exchange. Water is used for transportation. Ships sail on the water. It's quite important for sea transport to have water. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that type of transport. Water is used for recreation. I'm sure some of you were at fun parks this holiday. Anyone do a slip and slide or swim in a pool somewhere? But water is nice in the summer. Amen. When it gets hot. And of course, water's most important use, I believe, is for all of us, for plants and animals and us as humans to drink. Isn't it amazing when you drink water? Beautiful. The benefits of drinking water. Listen to this. Water maximizes physical performance. If you're a sports person, then it would be good for you to actually drink water. Sometimes it can give you a choke as well. It's amazing benefits. Water affects your energy levels and your brain function. You go without water for a while and you don't feel very good. Water helps prevent and treat headaches. Water even helps with digestion. And it helps with kidney function. And then especially for the students, water prevents hangovers, okay? Especially if you don't drink anything else except water, you know. But even if you do drink a lot, you know, just drink a lot of water as well. But rather just don't drink anything else except water, okay? But water helps with hangovers. Hopefully you don't have that problem. Some of us are never been there. Great. Don't get a hangover this year, okay? Water helps with weight loss. We can go on and on and on with the benefits of water. But I don't want to bore you this morning. I think you realize that without physical drinking water, life will not happen. And it's the same in the spirit. It's the same where Jesus says to us, there's a spiritual dimension to what I want to give you, that without that you cannot live. And in John chapter 7 verse 37, Jesus cried out and he said to the people, on that great day of the feast, he shouted out and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't this amazing? And last week we talked about the fact that Jesus promised us, but we need to come to him thirsty. We need to be honest with him and with ourselves and say, you know what, Jesus, I do need you. I need to come to you. I'm honest. I am thirsty. If we don't realize our thirst, we're not really going to come to Him. But if we realize, and I think Yanni confirmed it this morning, the fact that we so desperately need Jesus. We need to come to Him as the one who promises us, if we do come and we drink, then living waters will not only flow into us, but living waters will continually flow within us and out of us. Amen. But it takes honesty, it takes faith, and it takes obedience to come to Jesus. And John says, this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And John here is talking about this Holy Spirit that's going to be poured out. Jesus giving us His Holy Spirit. Fortunately for us, we down the line, 2,000 years, Jesus has risen again, risen long ago. He's defeated the grave. He's conquered death. The Holy Spirit was poured out more than not even 2,000 years ago, because it was actually AD 33. So in the year 2033, it'll be 2,000 years since Pentecost, since the Holy Spirit was poured out. But we're almost at a place of 2,000 years after the Holy Spirit was poured out for the first believers. And that is what John talked about here. He said Jesus had to be glorified. The risen Christ, the Spirit of the resurrected, glorified Christ, was the one who would pour out His own Spirit. The one who overcomes and who wants to give life. And so last week I finished off with this, that I believe God is holding before us, Jesus is holding before us two rivers. And I just want to look at those two rivers this morning. There are many more, so don't think there's only two. But I want to look at, because He said there's not only one river of water, there's rivers of living water. Rivers are going to come out of you. And I want to focus on two rivers specifically this morning, which I believe God wants to leave with us. And it's like a stream, you know, when a stream, you get a stream flowing and it's a gentle flow and it's a quiet flow and you almost want to sit next to that peaceful stream. But then you get another flow of water that you don't necessarily want to sit next to, but it's essential. It's a powerful rushing river that flows with such power and such authority. And so there are two rivers I want to talk about. Number one, the gentle flowing river called the River of Peace. And the second one, the mighty rushing river called the River of Power. And that's what Jesus holds before us this morning. He wants to give you a river or many rivers, but He wants to specifically give you this river this morning. John 14 says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then He says the following to His disciples. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's two aspects of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to go and read John chapter 14, 2:16 this week if you want to. Jesus talks about the Helper. He says to His disciples, He's going away, but don't fear, don't worry, I'm going to send you the Helper. And we look at that now, but He says, I'm going to send you someone. I'm going to send you the Helper and the Teacher. So there's two aspects here of the River of Peace that Jesus is talking about. Number one is the Helper, and number two, the Teacher. And I believe 2020 for all of us, if we really want it, it's going to be a year of rest. Amen. I don't know how many of you had a tough 2019, but I feel when I talk to people a year, 2019 was like quite a challenging year. And I believe God allowed lots of stuff to happen so that we can grow. Amen. Like this morning, surrender. It's important. We're the potter. I mean, He's the potter. We're the clay. We surrender, Lord. So allow Your stuff to happen, Lord. Allow 2019 to come and shape us, to come and challenge us, to come and even break us for You, Lord. Amen. But I believe 2020, God wants us to walk in His peace and His rest. And I can honestly testify out of so far this year, it hasn't been easy, but I can tell you I've got amazing peace that I haven't had in a long time. I'm just walking in so much peace, so much joy, so much fulfillment in Jesus Christ, not in stuff, but in Him. And I believe it's for all of us. If we want to walk into it and we proclaim it, we take it, we receive it, the river of peace must flow. It's the year of rest and of peace. What is this word Helper and Comforter that He talks about in John chapter 14? Jesus mentions this word, and in Greek it's the word parakletos. Some translations translate it in many different ways, but it's called the one who comes, or He is called the one who comes alongside. It's a He, not an it. So don't refer to the Holy Spirit as a He, because if you look back at the scripture, Jesus says here, He will teach you all things. Amen. The help of the Holy Spirit will come and He will teach you all things. It's a personal reference. He is a person. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He is the Holy Spirit. But who is He specifically? He's referred to in some translations as the Counselor. Anyone here need counsel? I'm sure we all do at times in our lives. We need counsel. We need someone to intercede for us. Even if no one is interceding for you, guess who is interceding for you? The Parakletos, the one who comes alongside. He's the intercessor. Anyone here need an advocate? Need someone to represent you? You know, when injustice happens, when life is tough and life is unfair, sometimes you need someone to represent you. And sometimes there might be no one, no people, but there is one who says, I will be with you. I'm the advocate. Also referred to as the strengthener and the standby. Someone who's always there. The helper, the comforter, the parakletos, the one who comes alongside you. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, without the Holy Spirit's presence, life will be tough. But with His presence, life can have peace. He who is filled with the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, has life and peace. But he who walks according to the flesh, there's strife, there's all sorts of terrible stuff happening. So He's the helper and He's the comforter. He's the one who's counseling us, interceding for us, standing in the gap for us, strengthening us, always there as a friend. So where do you need help in your life? Where do you need comfort in your life? Where do you need someone to listen to? Sometimes we just need someone to listen to us. Well, guess what? He's closer than a brother or a sister. Jesus is, by His Spirit, the best of friends. Amen. Where do you need continuous friendship? Where do you need courage in your life? Where do you need someone just to listen to you? And it's good to be like David sometimes, just to pour out your heart before God. Amen. Just to say, God, I'm struggling. Life sucks. This sucks, God. But then you do like David, and you're at the end of your psalm that you're writing, you start a bit negative, but you end, oh God, how awesome you are. Oh God, I repent. But at least He will listen to you. At least He will be the continuous friend. And hopefully the end of your ranting and raving will be a place of peace and surrender and say, Jesus, here I am. Then not only that, but He's also called the Spirit of Truth or the Teacher. Anyone need truth in your life? You know, truth brings peace. Truth sets us free, the Bible says. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the river of peace flows into our lives and it brings us to a place of truth. Sometimes it's tough to hear the truth, but it sets us free. Can anyone say amen? Anyone here been set free by the truth? And you have peace in your life. Amen. Because He flows in and He just brings guidance. He brings, you know, we don't know all things. Tell someone next to you, you don't know all things. And some people, yeah, and I want to say this to some of us, including myself, some of us want to be so much in control of our lives. We want to plan everything according to the T. You know, you get people like that, you know, like, I'm sort of like that. Not in every way. Sometimes I'm not a planner at all. My wife's an amazing planner as well. But sometimes we want to plan everything and then things go a little bit off and then we get shaken. Then we just have to come to the teacher and the one who's got all truth and just ask Him, why have stuff changed now? Why have circumstances changed? God, what are You doing? And guess what? The Spirit of Truth comes, the teacher comes and He gives us wisdom. And He tells us, you know what? My wisdom is much higher than your wisdom. My ways are so much higher than your ways. And He gives us understanding and He gives us counsel and knowledge. Where do you need that in your life right now? Where do you need counsel and knowledge and understanding for this year? I mean, this year lies ahead of us. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know the one who does know. Do you want that river of peace to flow, to bring you to a place of peace? Proverbs chapter 18 verse 4 in the Amplified says the following, the words of a discreet and wise man's mouth are like deep waters. But where does that wisdom come from? Proverbs is full of it. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus' wisdom given to us by His presence. The Holy Spirit brings this wisdom. And guess what? It brings into us deep waters, plenteous and difficult to fathom. And the fountain of skillful and godly wisdom is like a gushing stream. Say gushing stream. sparkling, fresh, pure, and life-giving. Isn't that amazing? Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we start to walk in this wisdom, guess what? We start to speak words of wisdom. We start to speak life. And so many times our mouths are not consecrated and submitted to the Spirit of truth, and we have an idea in our head and we go with it, and God's just saying, wait on me for wisdom before you speak, before you act, before you do, because guess what? You can have this gushing stream out of you. And people will come to you. People will turn to you for wisdom. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not you. And have you been around people that are just so peaceful and so like filled with God, filled with the Spirit? You just want to sit by their feet, don't you? But people are shaken and we're up and down, and it's like then it's down, then it's up, then it's stressed and angry, and then it's sometimes a bit peaceful. But you don't fully trust that, right? But if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can be fountains of life for so many people. So I want to say this morning, let's consecrate our mouths to God and to submit to His Spirit of truth and say, river of peace, flow. When I'm tempted to say something to someone and get angry or just do the wrong stuff, then Lord, help me to walk in the Spirit of peace where I can be discreet and wise, like a deep water. I want a fountain of skillful and godly wisdom. Some of us need skills even in our jobs. Wisdom in our callings. So there's a river of peace that wants to flow in our lives. Amen. Jesus said, I promised you rivers of living water. And one of those rivers is a river of peace, which comes through counsel and through the helper and the comforter, but it also comes through truth, the Holy Spirit teaching us truth. And I want to encourage you this year, come to Bible school, do Bible school, even if you enroll online. You don't have to come to the classes physically, but sit under the counsel and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through people. Amen. Did you know that? He can teach you alone as well. But God uses people. Jesus said, let's go and make disciples, teaching people. So God anoints people with the Holy Spirit to teach. So sit under people who are anointed and who've walked the road a little bit further than you have, and sit under the teaching and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Come to the foundations, come to the courses that we offer, come to small group, come and sit under people or sit with people who have maybe walked the road a little bit longer, and hear the wisdom, hear the Spirit speaking, not the person. Amen. Some people here this morning, you've been hurt maybe in church or with people, and I want to say I'm sorry if it's been hurt in church. As a minister, I apologize. I'm sorry on behalf of ministers that have hurt you, but don't look to people primarily. Look to the Holy Spirit speaking through people, and He'll speak through weird and wonderful people. People that you'll never get on with, people that you would never connect with, but don't walk away from that. Amen. Don't look at that person and put them in a box and I'll never receive from that. Receive from people. If it's the Spirit of God, He will allow you to receive. Amen. Don't just receive from us as Shofar either. Receive stuff online, receive stuff from, but watch what you get off the internet as well, because there's so much deception. But it's important to be accountable to people, to have a group of friends around you that you can walk this journey together. And let that river of peace flow. Let the river of wisdom and of comfort and the fullness of the Spirit flow in and through your life. And you'll see how many people want to come to you and say, I need advice. And you're thinking, but I'm so young, I'm not experienced. And then God will say, no, I'll speak through you. This person's coming to me. You're just the representation that I am on this earth. Not only does Jesus give us the river of peace, but He gives us the river of power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power. Tell someone next to you, power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Bloemfontein, in the Free State, in South Africa, and to the ends of the earth. That's my translation. It's the Shofar Bloemfontein translation. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses to me near and far. Amen. Forget about where you are. Just say, Lord, wherever I am, wherever I go, I'm going to be witnesses to you, or a witness for you. I read about the Amazon River. The Amazon is a mighty river, finding its origin above the freeze line of the Andes Mountains in South America. There, little trickles of water emerge from the frozen ground and they flow down the mountain, one little stream flowing into another until a majestic river is formed. As the river flows, it picks up speed and it picks up power. Listen to this. It flows for 3,600 miles before it reaches the Atlantic Ocean. 3,600 miles. This is like American terminology. So times it by 1.6 and you can get the kilometers. The mathematicians will have already done that, I guess. But it flows for 3,600 miles before it reaches the Atlantic, where it hits the ocean at the rate of 1.4 million gallons of water per second. You can try and convert that to liters per second. Don't even try. It's just a huge amount. Amen. So don't worry to be exact. 1.4 million gallons of water per second with such force that it pushes fresh water some 60 miles. That's almost 100 kilometers, 96 to be exact. 100 kilometers out into the Atlantic Ocean. Amazing. Powerful river. What power. Amen. And that's the same power, or so much less actually, than the power God wants to give us when he fills us with his Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants to fill us with such power. He doesn't want to give us just a trickle or a stream or just a flow. He promises us a river, not only of peace, but a river of power. We have so many power-hungry people in the world today. They want power. They want, like, you know, like leadership power or financial power or so many things. And God is not talking, Jesus is not talking about this type of power. He says, I want to fill you with a power that's so much greater. It's a spiritual power. Amen. It's not a physical thing. It's not like a physical river flowing. It's a spiritual river flowing in you that there's so much authority and power in your life. Listen to what the prophet Micah writes here in Micah 3 verse 8. He says, yeah, but truly, 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 he says, I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. Or by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm truly full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. The prophet Micah was filled with such power. Why? Because he needed to fulfill a specific mandate. Amen. He needed to fulfill that prophetic calling that God had called him to do. And he said, I'm full. In fact, without this full power, I cannot do what I'm called to do. And all the prophets walked in the full power of God. That's why we can still read the prophetic words they wrote today. Why? Because it wasn't from them. It was from the Spirit of God. And I want to say to you this morning, friends, God wants to fill you each with his power to fulfill the calling that's on your life. Anyone here called to be a prophet? No one's going to put up their hands. It's like, no. But we're all called to be prophets and priests and kings unto God. Amen. But guess what you're also called for? You're also called to be a doctor. You're called to be a business person. You're called to be a sports person. You're called to be a student for now. But you've got a calling on your life. You've got a gift and a skill that God wants to use. But as the word came earlier, come, let's be filled with the power by the Spirit of God, not with our own skill and our own anointing and our own knowledge. And students, learn as much as you can. Do PhDs. Do all the stuff. It's good to study. The university is blessed. We bless the university, but don't rely on intellectual knowledge alone, because it's going to take you away from God. Let that be subjected to the number one thing you're pursuing, and that's the power of God, the fullness of the Spirit, where you can walk in power like the prophet Micah did, because he had a tough calling. Some of us have got tough callings. It's not going to be easy, but God says, walk in the fullness of my power. Because there's a mandate for your life. There's a calling for your life. And if you like these prophets, you would be rejected by lots of people. But you have to stay faithful to your course. The Hebrew word, yeah, this is the Old Testament. The Hebrew word for power, yeah, means force or ability or capacity. Isn't that amazing? Force or ability or capacity. God wants to make you a force in the Spirit, where the evil spirits will, the demons will tremble, because why? You're filled with the power of the Spirit. There's a force in your life. And it's not like the force or woohoo, God's right arm, his strong arm. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He gives you peace, but you know what? He also gives you power. Some of us know him as the one who just brings peace, but I want to tell you now, he brings power. And he's going to release an anointing over our church. He's going to release anointing over your life if we surrender to him. It means ability. In other words, he wants to give you the ability that he's called you to do. If he's called you to be a business person, he's going to give you abilities beyond your own means. Amen. He's going to give you capacity. Some people, your capacity needs to be stretched a bit. Why? Because God's calling you. I remember when I was at school, I was involved in a lot of stuff. You know, I was like in this committee and that thing, and it felt like I was running around a bit. But God was saying to me, I'm creating in you a capacity. And now when I'm in the ministry, I realize, you know, I need a capacity beyond just, you know, 8-to-5 job, sleep early at night, or wake up at a certain... It's like, God, give me a capacity that sometimes I have to work at night. You know, sometimes I've got to be stretched. Sometimes I've got to do a lot of things. I've got to see a lot of people. But some of us we need to stretch our capacity. We need to say, God, stretch my capacity by your power. It's not by might nor by power. It's not by physical strength. It's by the Spirit of God. Amen. Some of you guys are already walking in that. I mean, I look at some of the medical students and I'm amazed at your capacity to dir nach like that. Go through the night. And then you still have to be in class the next day, or you've got to be in ministry. I mean, some of our band people, they're doctors. They like working and they're still doing ministry. And it's just a capacity. It's say, God, fulfill your mandate through my life. If I've been called to do ministry and work a secular job, then Lord, do it. God, I'm not going to limit you. I'm not going to say, sorry, I can't do any ministry because I've only got so much capacity. Ask the Lord and walk in peace. Don't strive. Don't run around like a headless chicken, but ask God to stretch your capacity. Amen. Be like Mike and say, I'm filled with the power by the Spirit of God. And then he says, I'm also filled with justice and might. The Hebrew word there for might means, again, force, victory, or strength. It's like that overcoming power. That power to have the victory. Not to be shaken by situations and by people and by stuff. But there's a power to fulfill a calling in your life. God wants to fill you with that river. He wants to let that river flow. Not fill you once or twice. He wants to continually flow. Listen to how Mary responded, or how the Holy Spirit spoke to Mary. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Mary had to surrender to this supernatural power. How am I going to do this, Lord? How is a baby born without having intercourse? How does this work? But there's a power that God wants to release to do miracles. The greatest miracle, or one of the great miracles was, and this is what people debate, that's what people wonder, is this true? Can this be true? How can Jesus Christ be born of a virgin? How does this work? And we, in one day in heaven, we'll find out how it worked, how it does work. But that same power is the same power that Jesus talks about in the New Testament, the dunamis power, the dynamic working power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say Jesus was conceived in power. Amen. He was conceived by the Spirit of God in power. Jesus grew in power all his life. He lived and he ministered in power. Can I have an amen? He died in power. Can I have an amen? And he was raised to life in power. Amen. We need to get excited. Jesus' ministry was started in power. He grew in power. He lived and ministered in power. Even his death was in the power of the Spirit because he gave up his life. But then 3 days later, he was raised to life in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's power to do miracles, guys. And I'm not saying we must chase after miracles, but I think sometimes we forget that there is power in the Holy Spirit for miracles. I would seriously say that Jesus' life was filled continuously with rivers of living water. He never ran dry. Any of us run dry? Believe me, I run dry often. Anyone here has run dry in your life? We do run dry. Jesus never ran dry. There was living water flowing continuously out of his heart, and he wants to give that same river to us. And my speech and my preaching, Paul writes here, and he says, we're not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. And how many times do we put our faith in the wisdom of men? But he wants us to put our faith in the power of God. There's power to demonstrate the gospel. I'm almost done. And then lastly, Paul writes, and he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Favorite scripture, eh? But he wants to give you power. Yes, he wants to give you love. He wants to give you a sound mind, which includes wisdom. But it's all by the Spirit of God. It's all by the river of God. And Paul says we do not need to submit to fear. Amen. Some of you, maybe you're worrying about this year. You're worrying about, are you going to make it? Are you going to study? Are you even going to register this year? I want to say, don't submit to the spirit of fear. God has not given you, child of God, a spirit of fear. And I want to release that blessing again that I inspired over you. God wants to bless you. I sense there's a grace in this place. A grace from God. Not from me, not from our team, not from Shofar. It's a grace from God himself to just sustain you this year. Amen. There's a grace in this place. Tap into that grace, and it's called the river of living water that Jesus wants to give to you. Power to overcome everything of the evil one. The evil one wants to bring fear. Fear is from the evil one. Tell someone next to you, fear is from the devil. But why, friend, and I'm talking to myself, why do we allow fear to manifest? Why do we keep walking in fear? Don't fear, but confess that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but you've been given power. Power to overcome the evil one. Amen. Shake someone next to you and say, we're going to overcome. Why? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, the word of our testimony. You're going to overcome the evil one this year. Speak it over yourself. And if you keep feeling defeated, just speak it until you get the victory. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Tap into the river of living water. My last scripture in Revelation 22. John writes and he says, I saw this river of living water. Amen. The river of life. The HSBC translation talks about the river of living water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the broad street of the city, on both sides was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every single month. The leaves of this tree, are for the healing of the nations. There's an ever-flowing river, friends, flowing from the throne of God. Ever-flowing river. Coming directly from the throne of God. And I don't know if any of you have read Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel is taken up by the angel into the same vision where he sees from the temple of God, from the very presence of God, a river flowing. Bringing life and bringing healing wherever it flows. Read Ezekiel chapter 47, just from 1 to 12, verse 1 to 12, and it says, wherever this river flows, it just brings healing and it brings life. And I believe this river has never stopped flowing. Jesus was there at the beginning. The Spirit was there at the beginning. He's always flowed and he's always offered life to mankind. And I believe God is calling us, like Ezekiel, to just walk in deeper, go deeper, go deeper. Some of you are ankle deep in the river, and that's fine. But just don't stay there. Go waist deep. Go, yeah, until you can't stand anymore. And you say, river of life, I want to flow with you. Holy Spirit, I want to flow with you. I want to do things differently. I don't want to walk in my old ways anymore. I don't want to be in control. I want to let go. And where this river takes me, it's an adventure. It's amazing. I want the band to come forward as we're going to pray. Just pray for some people and just minister and trust that God releases his river of life this morning where we need it. Our theme this year is called Grow. And I just believe it's so significant that in order for us to grow, we need to have the river of life. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to grow out of striving. You're going to try to be better than someone next to you. You're going to try to seek God and try to get to God and try, and at the end of the year you feel you haven't made any progress. Don't grow on your own. Just be planted by streams of living water. But don't only be planted. I believe you need to have the stream of water in you. Otherwise there cannot be growth. Where there's no water, there's no life, guys. Amen. We saw the benefits of physical water. We saw the amazing stuff that physical water does. How much more doesn't the water of the Spirit do? Amen. You know, water flows where nothing else can get to. Sometimes you can't get there with your hand. You can't get there with stuff, or you, but water can flow in the smallest little cracks. Water can flow into the deepest of our hearts. The spiritual water of the Holy Spirit wants to flow into our hearts where no one can get to. You can't even get to it yourself. You can't access those hurts. You can't access that pain. You can't get to the stuff in your heart that you need to get to. But God by His Spirit wants to fill you with that living water, that the stuff will come out. You don't even have to get there. You just have to say, River of Life, Jesus, fill me. Do you want the rivers of living water to flow out of your heart? Then just come to Jesus this morning. Just come to Jesus. And He says, if anyone thirsts, let him just come to me. Let him be honest. Let him come. Let him be obedient. Let him drink. Don't let anything hinder you from drinking. And this morning, I believe some people, you need to just drink from the river of life afresh again this morning. Maybe you feel there's a stagnant pool. Maybe you feel you just need a refreshing. This week has been tough. Then don't think about last year or the year to come. Just think, even this week, even right now, you just need to be refreshed. I believe there's a grace to just bring peace in your life. Amen. To bring the river of peace, first of all, but also to bring you power to witness, to bring you power to overcome, power to live this life. And it sometimes won't be easy. But just let Jesus pour into you, fill you up with the river of life. Let's close our eyes this morning.